Thank you so much for tuning in. I am not Pastor Parker, but I am Victory McIntosh, filling in for him in his absence today. Welcome to the Hour of Intercession. And guys, I am excited, and I'm going to try to keep my cool. But we have a lot of great things to discuss today. We have a special guest that's going to join us. And before I introduce her, again, thank you so much for tuning to Urban Family and the Hour of Intercession. We really appreciate it. Real quick. You know, you can chat with us live while we're doing the program. Go to the Turban. Simply go to urbanfamilytalk.com. Click on the menu. Scroll down to Hour of Intercession and log in at the bottom. It's super easy. Also, listeners can see what's going on live in the studio right now by simply going to you can use your computer, of course, or your mobile device. Go to afrika.tv/hourofint. Again, that's Afrika, spelled AFREECA.tv/hourofint. I had to spell that out because my mother says when I say it fast, it sounds like I'm saying freak instead of Afrika. So let me break that down. Man, so real quick, I want to open up with a scripture. I'm not Pastor Parker, so I'm not going to sound up. You know, it's one of those things you can't compare yourself. Be you, amen? All right, so real quick, I want to read just a few verses out of Psalm chapter 34, y'all. This is something that the Lord has been pricking my heart with quite a bit. Check this out. Verse 1, we're going to just read verses 1 through 8. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3 goes on to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Maybe you've been dealing with some type of fear lately or anxiety. Man, seek the Lord. He'll deliver you. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7 goes on to say, the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Then verse 8, y'all know this one. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Father God, we just thank you for your word. And Father, I just pray right now, Lord, to lead and guide me because Holy Ghost, you know I'm a little nervous. But Father God, I ask you, I don't even want you to decrease me. Allow none of me and all of you, Father God, for your glory, for your kingdom. Allow the listeners to be blessed. Father, I thank you for the producer, Sherry B, and her patience with me and talking me through it. And Pastor Parker and every listener that's listening, Father, I just ask you to bless them, Lord, and allow them to be blessed by today's topic. Amen. All right, guys, so let's get to it. So, like I said, I have a special guest. I'm super excited. She's a dear sister of mine. Today's topic, let me tell you what it's about. All right, I am a millennial. I am 26 years young. Oh, yeah, representing us. And today's title is To Be or Not to Be Single. That is the question. Put a little Shakespeare right there for you. Afrika TV, if you're on Afrika TV watching right now, I didn't say hello to all of you. Danny E., Carter, all of y'all, thank you so much. Sorry, rabbit trail. Let me get back on topic. But, you know, today's society, especially here in the South, I'm from Mississippi, and our guest today, she's originally from Mississippi, but now lives in California, and I'm going to introduce her real quick in a few minutes. But so many people think every time you turn around, somebody's getting engaged. Last year, I was in 2 weddings. Man, takes money, y'all. Next year, I'm going to be in 2 more. So the Lord basically gave me a year off, and you think I would have had a separate checking account just for weddings. But my whole point is there are some people who are so consumed with the idea of marriage that they're not enjoying the season of being single and devoting their lives to pleasing the Lord. So the guest that we have today is my dear sister. We met at Rhema Bible Training College. Let's see, about 5 years ago, Lydia Faith Wisen. I'm so excited to have her on. She's a newlywed. She was one of the weddings that I had the privilege and the honor of being a part of last year. We roomed together. We met at Rhema. Lydia, thank you for tuning in. Say hello to our listeners.
Hello.
Lynn!
Hey, everyone.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all, okay, you may hear a lot of giggles, but we're going to stay on track, I promise. She is a minister of the Lord. Like I said, we met at Rhema Bible Training College in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I study evangelism, and it was so funny. Lynn, you remember when we first met, and she told me she was from Mississippi because I knew nobody, right, when I moved to Oklahoma for Rhema. And she was like, yeah, I'm from Mississippi. So the first time we played volleyball together, found out she played volleyball. Then I'm going to let you talk, Lynn. And okay. I was like, I don't like her. Let me tell you why. So we're playing volleyball. I'm very competitive, and she's an excellent volleyball player. And so due to me being competitive, you know, I like to smack talk in a loving manner, but I smack talk. And there were some kids in the volleyball court, and I said something. Lee, I don't even remember what I said. What did I say?
Oh, it's something racist or something.
No, what? I'm not racist. Lynn is Caucasian, y'all. She know I'm open to a white man. But listen, and whatever I said, she was like, y'all, let's remember we have kids. And I just remember thinking, because what I said wasn't bad, at least to me it wasn't. I was like, okay, we are not going to be friends. And this was our first year at Rhema. And to think the next year we ended up rooming together, and she's definitely one of my best sisters in the Lord. Lynn, thank you for joining us.
Yes, ma'am. I'm super happy to be here.
Thank you. So let's start off like this. You know, how can one, because you recently got married last year. Congrats, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get about
Thank
your
you.
Wedding later on in the show. But real quick, I just want to ask, because I know you personally. I know that you didn't want to get married. Can you give us a little bit of why is it you didn't want to get married, the type of household that you grew up in, what your mindset was, and how marriage was like out of the picture for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in a really strong Christian family in the South, in Mississippi, and, you know, just going to church every week. But more than that, my parents definitely lived their faith in front of us, seven kids. I have six siblings, so big family. Grew up without a TV in the house, and just my dad had super strong convictions about his faith. And so, but one of his convictions was he didn't want any of us kids to date until we were out of high school. And so since growing up with that mindset, you know, we never really, you know, expected to date because it was just kind of out of the question. But it was really, really beneficial to me because, you know, me, like every other girl, I definitely had crushes growing up when I was, you know, junior high and then in high school. And it was great because if I ever really liked a guy, like, I already knew I couldn't date him. And so, really, if, you know, I would turn, like, that emotional need of, like, oh, I really like him, like, that would be so cool to date him. I would turn that to God because, I couldn't fulfill that in a guy. And so I would just turn to the Lord and be like, God, you are all I need. Like, I don't need a guy. I don't need a man or, you know, a boy to fulfill me. Like, you are all I need, and I'm just going to pursue you with all my heart. And so I really think that was like a huge part of it was my parents not allowing us to date.
Amen.
And we had such a good relationship with them that it wasn't like, I mean, my friends would be like, are your parents super strict? And I'm like, no, not at all. Like, they just loved us. And we had such a good relationship.
Yeah.
So we didn't feel like they were strict. We just, you know, it was just like, oh, this is super wise. And I remember, I really liked this one guy, and my dad just, you know, kind of knew about it, and so he just kept kind of pushing back and making sure that we weren't around each other all the time. And I remember, like, during that time thinking, man, I really want to hang out with this guy more, but my dad is so wise. Like, I don't care what I think emotionally and what I feel, I know my dad is right. And so I literally just, like, was like, I'm just going to listen to my dad no matter what. And I kind of kept that through my life. I was like, if I ever date a guy in the future, like, if my dad doesn't like him, I don't care how in love I am with this guy. I know there's probably something wrong because my dad's a very godly, wise man.
Lynn, let me ask you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Hey, Lynn and I are like sisters, so we do break in. We both love talking. Lynn, one thing that you brought up, girl, because I met your family. And I'll never forget when you and I started hanging out and getting to know each other years ago. I remember when you told me how y'all didn't watch TV. And I know it's because of you now, especially when we live together, because we didn't have a TV when you and I were roommates. And now, like, the only show I watch is Dancing with the Stars. I don't even watch that much. That's it. Like, I don't have a desire for television because I did realize that it kind of hinders the growth of relationship. And so I would you say, due to the fact that your upbringing was without distractions from television, media, things of that nature, that you guys had no choice but to grow, and so it allowed you to respect your parents? Because most kids would have been like, man, I'm not studying now. I'm a teenager. Like, do you think that kind of had an aspect to it?
Yeah, I think not having a TV actually played a huge role. And, you know, I
less
think...
influence. Yeah,
I think it's a huge role in your kids' lives, like huge, because there's so much garbage on there and stuff. And so I think when kids see that, and, you know, and even Disney Channel is all about relationships.
That's true.
So, you know, if you're watching that all the time, especially as a kid, you're going to automatically want that. And, yeah, it's just, you know, they start kind of looking at guys, especially girls. Like, you kind of want a guy to fulfill you. And so if you start dating real young, at like 12, and, you know, I knew 12-year-olds in my school that dated and stuff, and it just, and then you get your heart broken a lot, and so you're kind of always going through hurt, and then wondering, well, why am I not good enough? Why is this guy treating me like this when he's just an immature boy? And so it can kind of play, have a negative effect on your self-esteem even, and just affect you as, like, when you get older.
Right.
So I definitely think, like, that really played a strong role in my relationship with God, like, growing a lot, was not dating and not having a TV and just, definitely took away distractions for sure.
And let me add, oh, man, we're about to come to a break, which is good. We have lid on the entire hour, and I'm so excited because I also want to get into about when she did meet her husband, because I'll never forget Lid. You remember that day you were like, I'm probably never going to get married. Like, and I remember, like, what? And I'll never forget when she ended up meeting her husband, which we'll talk about when we come back in from the break. And I was just like, man, it's always the people who say they don't want to get married to get married first, because my story is a little bit, my story is a little bit different. So, Lynn, before we go to the break, you'll hear the music in a few minutes. Can you real briefly pray for those who are single and waiting, and just for their focus real quick?
Yeah. Father God, I just pray for all the single ladies out there that are listening. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts right now. And if they're in a relationship or if they're not, God, that you would just give them wisdom and lead them in their relationship and outside. And just if they're not in a relationship, I pray that you would just give them just peace in their heart, and that they would turn every emotion and every longing in their heart to you, God, and that their relationship with you would become even stronger, Lord, in this time of singleness. Without the distractions, God, that they would just focus completely on you, Father, and that they would just know, Lord, like Isaiah 54 says, Father, it says that your maker is your husband. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that that would be their attitude, God, that their maker is their husband, and that you fulfill them, Father, and that you are their husband, and just the God who loves them so much, and that they can get all their fulfillment from you, Father. Just thank you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You better pray, Lid. Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. Guys, seriously, you don't want to miss the show. Lydia, her and her husband actually just recently started a ministry. They are pastors. I'm so proud of her. He took her away from me, from Mississippi to California. So when we come back, we'll enlarge more on that as well. Lynn, I'm so glad you decided to do this with us. This is going to be fun.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel like a kid in a kiddie story. But so... I guess maybe I'm a little, am I early, or I thought the music was coming. Oh, I'm so sorry. Guys, that was our producer, Sherry B. I'm looking at the clock that's in the studio, and it's wrong. So you can hear Sherry B. Okay, shout out to Sherry B. She's the producer of the show, guys. Hey, we keep it real. This is my first time doing this solo, and the Holy Ghost is leading me. But please stay tuned. We've got more that we're going to touch base on with Lydia on the Hour of Intercession today.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Life is never picture perfect. Human beings come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and abilities. No matter how much we plan, no matter how much we think we're prepared, the unplanned happens all the time. It's how we respond to the unexpected that shows our true humanity. But many do not see the value of every human life. Too many are willing to discard those who don't fit the picture of perfection. Abortion destroys the chance to love and to be loved. We never know what will fill the frames of our lives or how empty those frames can be when we allow exceptions.
Every life is a gift.
Learn more at www.radiance.life.
You keep on doing great things for me.
My jam, Kenton Jones singing great things, man. Ooh, I slick may play the whole of the next song. I love jams, y'all. As you know, Victory McIntosh, Jesus Jams. I'm all about good jams. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Hey, Lydia Faith Wisen. She is our studio. Well, I was about to say in studio, but she's in California. But she's our guest today, and I'm so privileged. She and I attended Rhema Bible Training College together 5 years ago. And we have been friends and sisters ever since. I love her dearly. She is a minister of the gospel, and she is just one of the most, Lydia, there's so many words I could describe about you. Like, she's just transparent. She's real. She's loving. She's patient. She's kind. The fruit of the spirit is definitely all up in her life, her and her husband, which we'll get to that. Because before the break, we were talking about how how her upbringing and how just dating was just like, no, because that was the rule of their household, and it wasn't she wasn't emotionally led a lot, and it was just due to her upbringing. Lyd, real quick, we have listeners that also tune in with us on our live feed of a channel. It's called Afreeca, A-F-R-E-E-C-A TV. And one of the listeners on this the channel asked a question for you, Lid. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Their question was, did you ever feel like you were missing out on things growing up due to, you know, no TV, not able to date? Did you feel like you were missing out?
Surprisingly, I did not. I don't know. I was just raised in a very strong family, and my siblings and I had really good relationships and good friends. And there was just something about, I mean, it's totally God, but it was like my parents are very social, like awesome people. And so we were all, you know, raised very, like, social, like, had great relationships, great friends, were involved in sports. We were actually homeschooled up to ninth grade, but we were involved in a bunch of city sports. And honestly, my attitude was more like, man, I kind of felt more sorry for my friends who dated, which is really surprising, but that's, like, literally was my mindset. Like, I felt sorry for them because I felt like, it went from one guy to the next, and I just was so, I don't know, I, like, adopted the convictions of my parents, even as a kid and as a teenager, and I just really enjoyed my life, so I never felt like I was missing out. I felt like, you know, I just had an incredible life. Like, God had just blessed me so much, and, I mean, we were encouraged to read books growing up, and
And y'all all play an instrument. let me add this. I said, and all of you guys play an instrument. It's funny when you said that, you know, both your parents and all of you are social, because I know when you and I started getting to know each other and you told me you were homeschooled, my mouth dropped because I was like, you're so normal. Because almost, no offense if you're someone who gets homeschooled, almost every homeschooled person I had ever met were, what's the word? Antisocial? Quiet,
yeah,
unique,
a little bit more antisocial.
Unique. I'm being nice here. I was gonna say weird, but just unique. I'd rather say unique because we're all, you know. but you guys were not, and like you said, because your parents kept you involved in things of the church. It was definitely obvious to me that you were in a centered field Christ home. And I'm gonna add. I know you said you felt sorry. I want to us to hit on this route. You said you felt sorry for the young ladies who were dating. That's interesting because and I'm assuming it's because of the emotional discombobulation that can come from it. Because I remember when you and I roomed together, which I love, y'all. You remember that, girl? Y'all, real quick, listeners. Lee and I stayed in a one-bedroom, one-bath. Wasn't that something, seriously? We made it happen.
We know each other very well.
We do. Yes, like real close. And I'll never forget, Lid, like the more we got to know each other, and because, you know, at the time when you and I were rooming together, I was dating a young man from Rhema. You know that whole story. And I remember one time looking at Lid, because I am a lady in waiting, and I've been waiting for 26 years for my husband. And clank clanking, if you see Medea, you know what I'm talking about when I say that. If not, just inbox me on Victory McIntosh on Facebook, and I'll tell you what that means. But anyway, and I remember one time talking to Lynn, I was just like, man, I didn't feel, what was the word I used, Holy Ghost? I didn't feel pure, and usually I always felt pure because I did date. And I, too, grew up in a Christian household, you know, very much so, like my mother. But the difference was back when I was younger, I don't think my dad minds me telling this, he's now has grown in the Lord. But back then when I was younger, he was working a lot. He was busy a lot. So my mother was kind of more the quote unquote head of the house. It's a different ballgame now. Thank you, Jesus. It's gotten better. You know, we all grow and learn. But one thing that you emphasized to me a lot through our friendship, how your dad was the leader. And that just showed me and it motivated me more to not settle for a knucklehead who did not know how to be led of the Lord. Can you elaborate more on that? Do you think it's because of the type of father figure that you had growing up?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And that's why, you know, I did kind of feel sorry for girls, especially young girls that I saw dating. Because, I mean, I just was sad that it was sad to me that they felt like they needed that fulfillment from guys and that it's so distracting. Like, it just really is. And, you know, everyone has different opinions and looks on this, but it's just very, very distracting as a teenager to be dating. And it's just like, I mean, you know, because I'm married now, and so I dated my husband for 2.5 years. And even when we were dating, it was like a distraction, you know, and I had to constantly be reminding myself, like, okay, I'm seeking God above all else. I need to keep my focus on the Lord. And so, you know, I know dating, it can be a huge distraction. And so if you're dating in a time that you're not even moving towards marriage,
come
like
on, Liet,
when you're young, then it really is just a distraction. There's really not much meaning to it. There's not a reason to it. And I think the American culture is dating, but that's not really how it was biblically. Like biblically, you know, back in the Bible times, like you were set up in a marriage and then you married that person and then you're together, but you weren't trying out a bunch of different people, especially as a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. And, you know, when you're really young and you still have a lot of change that's going to be happening in your life, and your beliefs are going to change, and who you are as a person may change. And if not you, if you're already really solid, well, the person you're dating is most likely going to change a lot as they go through college. And so it's just kind of a waste of time. Like it's basically just a distraction that's not leading towards anything super beneficial. But yeah, I definitely say like my dad had a, like my father figure had a huge impact in that, because my dad always told all of his daughters, me and my three sisters, that, you know, we were beautiful, and I just had really good self-esteem because my dad was constantly like telling me how beautiful I was and, you know, how special I am. And I just got so much love from my dad that I didn't feel like I needed a guy to fulfill me. And of course there's those temptations, you know, when you're young and you have those crushes and you're like, oh, he's so cool. He loves, you know, he likes me. And you kind of get like the butterfly and you feel special because every girl wants a guy to, you know, pursue her. Like that's in every girl. Like you want a guy to pursue you and to treasure you. Not just your dad, but like a man, you know, a guy. But there's a time for that, and I really believe God has a specific man for every girl's life, and he has someone for you that he's planned out for you, because he's literally ordered your steps. So he does have someone for you. And so why waste your time with so many other guys when God has someone for you? Why not pursue God and say, you know, like I quoted that verse, Isaiah 54, says, my husband is my maker. Like, I quoted that a million times to God. I was like, God, I don't need a husband. Like, you are my, you're my husband.
Hey, Lid.
My maker is my husband.
Lid, real quick, can you, where's that verse again? Isaiah what now?
It's Isaiah 54:5. It says, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
Amen. Lid, I'm going to intervene real quick. Man, y'all, listen, Lydia and her husband, who we're going to talk about in a few minutes, like seriously, they are pastors. They're young. Lid, how old are you? How old are you, Lid? Lid, you there?
Oh, I'm 24.
24. 24. And look, we met 5 years ago. All right. And she was like this even then. And just because, you know, guys, we move glory to glory. Amen. In the Lord. I just love, man, as you could tell, this sister, she puts herself in God's word. Listen, I want to read a verse real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. Again, today's topic is to be or not to be single. That is the question. But pretty much conducting yourself in the season of singleness. How to not be so consumed with the idea of marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, Paul is writing and he says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Then verse 33 talks about the married folks. We'll get to that momentarily, but I want to stress this. I think, I don't know if I got to this with you, Liv, the other day, we spoke last night. So I haven't recapped you on some things. So a few weeks ago, I attended this Christian Poetry Night in Memphis, Tennessee. It was phenomenal. P4CM is the name of the ministry, Passion for Christ Ministries. It's just a group of poets who minister through poetry. Anyway, one of the girls there, she did a poem while I was sitting there, kid you not, Liz. So I guess this is part of our, you know, because Lynn, she lives in California now, so we have to schedule times to meet and talk because her and her husband are so busy with ministry and work. So let me tell you what the Lord told me. It's just, and he told me that I've been coveting the idea of marriage. Because since I moved back from Mississippi after Rhema, it was deep for me too, for real. Like ever since I came back from Rhema, So many people engage, you know, high school friends, college friends, because before Rhema, I went to Ole Miss for a few years. So many people engage and married. And so it was just all up in my face, you know. But I noticed times that I wasn't in, not that I'm saying things wrong with Mississippi, all right. But, you know, in the South, they tend to, people tend to get married, some straight out of high school, some straight out of college. And it's like they have this mindset of, once I get married, it'll all be together. Man, and that is not of God. But the Lord revealed to me that I have been coveting the idea of marriage. So let me tell you, he led me to this verse. Somebody months ago, one of my dear friends, sisters in the Lord, she's older than myself. She's like a mentor. I love her so. She gave me this verse. And the Holy Ghost brought that to my spirit and said, Jade. Oh, sorry, y'all. My real name's Jade. That's what Lee, you've been doing well. Call me Victory, girl. But 1 Corinthians 7:32 reminded me I am in a season of singleness, that I am to devote and exhaust myself in the things of God. Amen. And so man, time really does fly by. We still got a few minutes, and we do have another break coming up. And Leah, like, seriously, I do want to get into how the Lord brought you about to your husband while we were at Rhema. Man, that whole ordeal. You know, I guess female shows really need to be like 2 hours, because I got a lot I could say. And I know Lynn does too. But I love what you're saying. In Isaiah 54:5, I'm going to add that to one of my verses to meditate on, because I can honestly say, Lynn, like, for real, I'm finding myself not as, when am I going to get married? Like, usually, like, when I go to the gym, or it used to be like this, when I would go to the gym or here at Urban Family AFA, when we would have visitors, and if there was a man, I would look to see if there was a ring, usually, kid you not. So the other week, we had two visitors. One was a young, good-looking man, and the first thought was that my husband? And look, this was after I had started meditating on 1 Corinthians 7:32, Colossians 3:1-3. That Colossians 3:1-3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek after those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Then verse 2 says, set your affections on things above and not on this earth. Then verse 3, for ye are dead, your life is hid in Christ and God. Between all those verses, girl, Lit, do you hear me, Lit? And then I want you to talk. The other week, I got approached. It's amazing when you don't want nobody. Got approached at the gym by a cutie. He was a cutie. And I had noticed him checking me out for quite a while or whatnot. And this particular night when he decided to approach me, I was like, Lord, will you please make him leave me alone? But anything you want to add to it, Lit?
Let's see.
I know so many things we could say. But yeah, go for it. I'm sorry. You know, we get to talking.
Well, no, I'm trying to think. Oh, well, yeah. And then if people, you know, if you've already have dated a lot, like, yeah, just if you're single now, you know, waiting on marriage, I think that's a really good point. At first, that Paul said, literally, those who are not married act like, I mean, he even said those who are married act like you're not married. Because in this time, like, I mean, it's, you know, we just need to focus on God. And he said, when you're married, you're worried about pleasing your husband. And so, you know, I mean, there's definitely distractions even when you're married. And it's much easier to be distracted with marriage and to fulfill yourself emotionally off of your husband or your boyfriend than the Lord. So it's just a really good reminder. Like, and that's why I think when you're single, it's such an awesome opportunity to give your whole attention to the Lord.
Amen.
And I would tell every single girl out there, like, do not waste this season of your life. Like, it's amazing. When you get married, you're going to be married for the rest of your life, like, hopefully, you know, and be with that one for the rest of your life. So while you're single, like, just pursue God, because there's so many less distractions, like, I promise you.
Amen.
And so it's like, just take, like, really enjoy this time of singleness and pursue God with all of your heart. And let him become your number one, and let him really become your husband.
Amen.
Like,
Lynn, we're about to come up to a
relationship
break
with him.
I'm so sorry. We're about to come up to a break, but I want you to say a prayer. This time, can your prayer focus? Oh, man, we're at the break. Oh, man. Lynn, when we get back, we're going to do that prayer, okay? Just hang on with us, guys. Lydia Faith Wisen's with us, and we're just digging in God's word on how to be single and being young and married and how to focus on the Lord. Stay tuned. Hour of the Intercession, Victory McIntosh.
Here's Ed Vitagliano, Executive Vice President of the American Family Association.
We became very concerned with this new policy at Target. We feel like it's misguided and reckless. We do not believe the transgendered community itself poses a danger. We believe the policy opens the door for sexual predators and voyeurs to gain access to women and children.
Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Why do so few men act like men of God? Dr. Tony Evans says it's because so many of them are spiritual orphans. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When Jesus was preparing his leaders, he spent virtually all of his time with men. They were with him in order to be like him and pattern themselves after him. We are experiencing today a cultural tsunami that is sweeping away a generation of men and boys from becoming the kind of men that God intended for us to be. The challenge that we face is spiritual parenting. All throughout biblical history, every boy looked forward to the blessing. The blessing was where a father put his hands on his son and transferred the benefits of the covenant to the next generation. We wouldn't have near the issues we have in our culture today if there was spiritual parenting for men. That's discipleship, development of the next generation of spiritual leaders. Because like it or not, every man has been called, particularly at the point that he has a family, to be a spiritual leader. Every man is to have a spiritual father, and every man is to be a spiritual father to someone that they should influence in moving forward in their spiritual life.
You can restore that spiritual parenting cycle in your own family by learning how to be the loving, godly leader the Lord created you to be. Get a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It's available at tonyevans.org, along with study guides, leader's guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Yeah.
Y'all, that's my... Woo! DJ Sherry B. Y'all, that's the producer. Man, I'm telling you, Anita Wilson, it's all about you. Man, I'm telling you, I love the verses. Man, because I played so much of that song, Liz,
to the hour.
Many people are wanting to hear how you and your husband met. Girl, oh, I just love that song. Anita Wilson, it's all about you. Y'all need to download that jam. Lid, are you still with us?
Yes.
Hey, girl.
Yes.
Okay, so hey. Many people, I've been getting messages through Afrika TV, A-F-R-E-E-C-A, my cell phone, people, and even our producer, Sherry B, was like, if you don't get to how they met, I'm going to ask her myself. Lid, so please take us through on how you and Ben Wiesen met and how the Lord just orchestrated all that, how you patiently waited on the Lord.
Okay, this is a very interesting, fun story.
I'm excited!
So Ben and I met the first week of, his name's Ben, and we met the first week of Bible school. So we were just, friends hanging out in groups. I never went out with guys alone, so, we'd just hang out after class in big groups.
And how old were y'all, Liz? Real quick.
I was 19, and he was 24. He's 5 years older than me. And so I thought he was hilarious and just really, I was just so comfortable around him. He reminded me of one of my brothers, which is, the highest compliment I can pay a guy because I really respect and love my brothers. And so, but I knew, he would never like me. And I was like, he's really cute, but I just, was like, whatever. I really.
Why'd you think that though, Lid? Because you're gorgeous and your personality. I'm serious. But I guess because of his style, he's like a preppy boy.
He was a California dude. And
we're Mississippi.
And he was the guy that was more into cheerleaders, in high school. And I was super not a cheerleader at all. I played soccer, very tomboyish.
Look, Sherry B, the producer, probably Jay, don't be quiet. Victory, don't be quiet. Real quick, but I'll never forget. You remember how you used to walk around spitting on campus?
Okay, let's not share that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lee, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Okay. Yes, I was a tomboy, and I grew up wearing soccer shorts and T-shirts, and I just saw Ben with a really petite little blonde-headed girl with a pink dress on, and that was not me at all. And so we were, good friends, and we really respected each other. And he, felt really comfortable with me. He told me that later. He was like, I just really felt at home with you. But we didn't like each other. And so we would just hang out in groups. And then God, really started moving on his heart and saying, Ben, what about Lydia? Because Ben was started praying for his wife. He was like, God, I'm really, ready for my wife. And just ready for you to bring her along, show me who you want. And so he was like, what about Lydia? And he was like, oh, really surprised. And so he started thinking about it more and watching me more, but he just was definitely liked me, but he decided to get more used to the idea of me. Cause like I said, I was not his typical style and I knew that. And I was okay with that. I just wanted to be myself. And so, so I found out, he liked me. He asked me out. He's a very bold, persistent guy.
Yeah.
So one day after class, he followed me to my car, which was very strange because I was okay, he never walks with me anywhere. So he walked in there and he was like, hey, would you like to go out to lunch? And I was super confused because Ben never I knew he would never ask me unless he was very serious about liking me because he didn't just go out and flirt with people all the time. And so I was like, no, I don't really go out with guys alone. And he was like, and I kind of made this rule to avoid, because Bible school guys are always, you just get a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
So I made this rule to kind of avoid the question of hurting a guy. I made this rule that I wouldn't even consider dating until I was 21. And I was 20 at this point. And so I just turned 20. So I kind of used that as my excuse, even though I wasn't even planning on dating then. I was like, and I'm not dating till 21 anyways. And he was like, well, when's your birthday? And I was like, in March, and it was May the year before. And so he's like, well, why don't you promise me that you'll go out on a date when you turn 21? And I was like, no, I'm not going to promise you. Wonder if I don't want to go out then. And so he was trying to convince me. We had this long conversation. And by the end, I was like, no, Ben. Like, I had to make it very clear because my brother-in-law taught me that guys are, especially Christian guys, can be very persistent. You can't drop hints. You have to be very clear about your feelings towards them. So I was just very clear because I did not want him to keep pursuing me because I just hated, like, the awkwardness that would come from a guy liking me. Because, I mean, I hung out with guys all the time because I loved sports. And I loved, like, hanging out with guys. I think they're hilarious. And, you know, but I just wanted to be, like, their sister. I didn't want them to like me because I felt uncomfortable. And so I was like, Ben, I don't like you at all. And by the end, I was like, Ben, I will never go out with you. Like, I was very, very clear because he just kept asking and, like, kept trying to convince me. He's a very confident, like, guy, very
you know, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. So I had to keep, like, saying, no, Ben, no, I'm not gonna go out with you. Like, I see you like my brother. I like you. I mean, I respect you as my like a brother, which of course is like the worst thing for a guy here. But I was like, I'm sorry, I don't like you like that. So I thought he would stop pursuing me because that's what every other guy did in my life, you know. I just wouldn't be interested and then they would just get over it. But Ben, like, kept pursuing me, and I could tell he liked me, and I had to have multiple conversations with him about, like, Ben, you need to stop, like,
it's, and you, like, even asked me to talk to him once. You remember
what'd
that? You remember that one time you're like, Jade, will you please, she calls me Jade, y'all, will you please talk to Ben? You remember that? Girl, my heart was,
yeah.
I was like, man, I was like, Ben, she doesn't want to, she wants you to stop. Girl,
yeah,
he knew the,
like,
Lord.
I was like, please, like, I really just don't, because I didn't want it to be awkward, and I just wanted us to be friends again. But it made everything awkward, and I just felt really weird around him. So I didn't even want to really be around him. And so that was like 8 months. So he asked out in May, and then it wasn't until December that like, my heart changed. And basically, I realized, like, when it changed is I like, my sister encouraged me to just, well, Ben pursued me one day, and we got into this conversation about the Lord. And I had never had a serious conversation with Ben ever. Like, we'd just been joke, like, he'd just crack up jokes. He's really funny. And so I would just laugh, and we were in big groups. We'd never, like, really talked about our heart and our passions and, like, our love for God. So he walked into the church one day against my will. He walked me over there, and then he started talking about his heart for revival and prayer and just his heart. And I was, like, amazed. Like, I'd literally never met a guy with the same heart as mine. And that's why what I really felt. Like, I felt like he was literally had my heart. And I understood everything he said, like, his passion and everything. Like, I felt the exact same way. Like, I knew it was like he had my heart. And I was like, whoa, it really amazed me. So we talked for like 3 hours about God in the church. And then after that, I was like, man, now he's going to start liking me more. Maybe I should avoid him altogether. And, like, I didn't know what to do because I just did not. Marriage was literally the farthest thing from my mind, especially in Bible school. I was like, God, I did not come here for a relationship. And Ben said the same thing before, but it was like, I did not want to be that couple that got into a relationship. I just wanted to focus on God at Bible school. And so I told my sister, and she was like, can't you just be friends with him and stop being so awkward? Because he knows you don't like him. Like, he's a good Christian guy. Just be friends with him.
Right.
And so I was like, you know what? I can do that. I can do that. So
yeah,
I let down all these walls of, like, boundaries and, like, just, like, annoyance of him pursuing me and all this stuff. And I just put him down, and I was like, you know what? Ben's an awesome guy. Like, he really loves God. I'm just going to be friends with him. And right when I put down those walls, like, we were out to eat with some friends, and he asked me to take him back to his car because I was the only one going back that way. So I took him back, and we literally talked in my car for 5 hours about God and about all this stuff. And, like, that's when I was like, uh-oh, I think I'm starting to like him. And I lived with Victory during this time. And so I told her, I was like, this is not good. Like, I just talked to Ben for 5 hours. And so it just like kept happening. Like the next week we talked in my car for 7 hours. So it wasn't a normal relationship where you like go out to coffee and then you talk. Like we had to talk in the car because I would not go out.
Hey, Lid.
And so,
Lid.
Yeah.
This is why I said this needs to be a 2-hour show. We are almost end of time and I want people to hear about, man, if you can make a quick like speech
yeah,
on
go quick.
How you got proposed, but also to your wedding, because I have never in my life, listeners, been to such an anointed wedding. My mother and aunt went. It was so anointed. You could sense the presence of the Lord. Her husband Ben over in one corner praying for folks. Liz, she's always on fire for Jesus. I mean, it was just so God-oriented, and I know it's because they both did it the right way. Can you get us to how he proposed and your wedding?
Yeah. So I ended up basically liking him, and then I had to work through all that, and I felt complete peace about it, and God was like, get into the relationship. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy, because I was 20, about to be 21. So we dated for 2.5 years, and then he proposed on a clifftop. Well, he took me up on a hot air balloon, and then that night, he took me to, like, our favorite park in Arkansas that was super close, and we like hiked on this trail at night up to this cliff that overlooked the lake, and it was like a full moon, bunch of stars, and then he proposed on his knee up there, so it was awesome. And yeah, we got married last May.
Beautiful.
And it was amazing. We got married in a barn, and a monsoon, we were supposed to get married outside, but a monsoon hit literally an hour before, so like crazy rain and thunder and lightning. And anyways, but it turned out beautiful. We got married inside the barn.
Oh,
and it was amazing.
Man, Lid, we have ran out of time. Lydia Faith Wiseman. Hey, real quick, what's the website, you and your husband's website, if people want to get in touch with you?
Church TK. T as in toy, K as in kite. And for Church Tidkenu, which is righteousness in Hebrew.
ChurchTK.com.
So, yeah, you can email us through our website.
Thank you, Lydia. Man, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to Hour of the Intercession. It has been my pleasure. Catch me tonight for Jesus Jam, 6:00 p.m. Central Time, for more jams. Hour of the Intercession. We'll be back on tomorrow. We have another special in-studio guest this time. I will be with you one last time. Catch you tomorrow. Love you. Thank you, Sherry B., our producer.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.